All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 12 of the Harsh Reality Podcast. I'm your host, DA, and of course, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, first, the one and only Mr. L. Miguel.
Pleasure to be back. It's been a while.
Word, and always the knowledgeable and outspoken Sister Reese.
Hey, everybody, what's up?
What's going on, Queen? And on this podcast, we plan to hit on various topics revolving around the latest news, business, family, life, hip-hop, social commentary, and any recent headlines that affect our community. And the disclaimer, as always, by no means do we claim to be experts, just three melanated people with a small platform, here to add our two cents to the various subjects we plan on discussing today. And as always, follow the Harsh Reality Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And I also plan on adding this to YouTube, too. I got to do the video format. Probably just do a blank screen in the back and just do the audio thing. So, firstly, let's shout out Melanated Conscious Society. MCS, headquartered in Jacksonville, Florida, is a mentorship organization teaching various life skills as well as knowledge of self to our youth. Very important. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram for the latest news, meetings, and valuable information. And always, shout out to our KWAZ family. KWAZ providing the latest and greatest and conscientious-oriented content. Follow them on all forms of social media, as well as subscribe to the Bitter Medicine Podcast, hosted by Koku, and the Pro Black Perspective, hosted by Oni Tase. And finally, that brings us to our BOB Spotlight feature, where we highlight a black-owned business. And we all should know now that economic independence is the key to our ultimate freedom. So I would like to make it a point to acknowledge a black-owned business every episode. In this episode, I would like to highlight Wild Creations. Wild Creations, based out of the Chicagoland area, providing the best quality in custom t-shirts, hats, pillows, kids' apparel, and much more. You can contact them via telephone at 708-800-9701. And in addition, you can reach them on Facebook at Wild Creations and on Instagram at wild_creations18 and by old school email at wildcreations2018, all one word, at gmail.com. Wild Creations provide unique designs for the wild within. And lastly, the podcast is now on Patreon. Please follow us and donate, and all proceeds will go to upgrading the show and providing the best content we can have for our loyal listeners. And also to be featured here in the BOB, Black Owned Business Spotlight. Or if you're just looking out to reach the show, maybe drop us some criticism, drop us some show ideas, hit the email at theharshrealitypod@gmail.com. And without further ado, let's get to the topics. I'm already out of breath. Jesus Christ. So the first thing we got right now is Jonathan Isaac and his decision not to kneel or wear Black Lives Matter merchandise at the game and his subsequent injury afterwards. What I say with this is I seen his excuse, the reason he gave for not kneeling or saying wearing the merchandise, the BLM merchandise, is he stated his religious beliefs. I guess he's a pastor, a part-time pastor in the off-season. It's kind of crazy. And that's one of the reasons he cites that, you know, he didn't really want to join in with what's going on in terms of what the NBA is doing right now with the BLM situation. So what do you guys think about the whole Jonathan Isaac and his decision and his reasons for his decision?
I mean, in all reality, I just don't really understand what the backlash was for. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a confusing topic because it's what did he do or didn't he do? That was like, what was he supposed to do? Like, what if he doesn't?
Exactly.
What if he stands for black empowerment or black equality or rights, but just don't rock with Black Lives Matter? Like, we beat this into the ground, but when has Black Lives Matter became the voice for all black people? And if they are going to be the voice for all black people, what, you know, are they outreaching to every black community? Like, I just don't understand why, if a black person doesn't necessarily rock with the organization of Black Lives Matter, that he's opposition to black people. You know, that's just kind of disturbing to me. I don't get it.
Yeah, and then I think that's one thing we hit on the other episode was the organization versus the movement. And I think people still don't realize. Well, I see more people are more hip, so that it's actually organization. Like a month ago, I had to break it down to somebody, even direct them to their website, because it was like Black Lives Matter in the organization, blah blah blah. Bro, they got a whole website, a whole page where you can donate and merchandise. They got commercials on mainstream media. And I think that's one thing I say should raise a red flag with any kind of movement, pro-black movement. Like, when has any pro-black movement ever had commercials on mainstream primetime media? I've never seen that. The Black Panthers, could you imagine the Black Panthers having the, in between Walter Cronkite on a TV and ABC News, they're having a Black Panther commercial pop up? It's unheard of.
It'd be too much swag on that commercial.
So that's one thing. And one thing that really, really hit with me, we had Marcellus Wiley. He's on one of them ESPN shows. But he pretty much destroyed the ideology they was trying to push. And one thing he cited was on the Black Lives Matter website, they talk about destroying the nuclear family and killing cis male privilege. And it really was no mention of black males outside of the, you know, our deaths. And he pretty much went in because, you know, he's a father, he's a husband, and he was saying that's one thing. I know stats, you know, and every stat points that if you don't have a male father figure head of the household, a lot of times those kids are more likely to, you know, be in prison, more likely to, you know, not finish school. All these statistics he was dropping, so he did a pretty good job at hitting on that. But the only thing that contradicts what Jonathan Isaac was getting at was he stated more so his religious beliefs. But the craziest part to me of the whole situation was that the lady who was questioning him asked him, like, I believe she was of a mixed heritage, mixed racial heritage. And she asked this dude who's black as the dark side of the moon if black lives matter to him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure this man's mama black, his daddy's black. If you have kids, they're going to be black, you know, and grandma's black. So why would you even, you know, start to ask him that question? And I don't think enough backlash was received in terms of, like, what is the gall? You know, what kind of cojones you have to ask this black man if black lives matter to him? You know what I'm saying? And that kind of tripped me out.
It's open season on this. Like, if you... Now when we talked about integration episodes back, you know, the black man's struggles have now been completely integrated and taken over by everybody's struggles that's marginalized. And so, you know, this mixed woman might be looking at it like, well, if you're not for Black Lives Matter, you're not for me either, because it's now been broadened beyond the scope of what was happening, what Kat was kind of saying. Originally, granted, Kat might have been bored out as well, but he still was trying to bring awareness to don't detract from the original issue, you know. And I don't get it, you know. And I want to, you know, this topic is just kind of weird, because you're talking about a person's decision to not endorse an organization. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Has nothing to do with him respecting or wanting to support black men. It has him wanting to not tie his own brand as an NBA basketball player who gets endorsements to an organization external NBA. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think there's more than one way to get to. You can love black people without doing everything that everyone else black is doing. You know what I'm saying? Just because he's not necessarily kneeling, you know, because everybody else is, doesn't mean he's not supporting the black community in other ways. And I want to say, DA, I had seen where you had posted something on social media. You were saying how you didn't want to see anyone talking about his injury and the reason why that happened, because he didn't kneel for Black Lives Matters, because you know that that's what people do, you know, just because you're not doing it the way that black people as a whole may think you should, doesn't mean that you're against fighting for the community. You may just be doing it in a different way, in your own way, or, you know, it ain't gotta be, you ain't gotta do it the way people say that you need to be showing support.
Yes, I agree. And that was one of the disgusting things I seen, more so after he's, you know, which is ironically got hurt after that whole interview and stuff, is like, black people's like praising it, like clapping, like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And like, God, I guess, you know, and I, some of the stuff was, you know, maybe made more so made for comedy purpose, the memes and stuff, like, oh, no, gee.
Not funny though.
It's not funny. It's not funny. That's an ACL tear. It's not like he sprained his ankle. You know what I'm saying? Like, Derrick Rose was never the same after the ACL tear. He went from MVP.
That's his career, can it?
Yeah, it could be over with. This dude is, what, 20 years old, 21 years old? If you think, I'm what, 35 going on 36 now. And if you think of the mentality you had at 20 to 21, this dude got years to grow. You know what I'm saying? Your philosophy at 20, 21 ain't going to be the same as you're 25, as 30, as 35. So to, you know, wish, you know, evil things upon this young boy who's still growing, this young black man who's still growing into his own, I think that's crazy to me, you know. And one thing I will throw out there, if everybody is doing something, is it even a protest anymore? If what you're doing is accepted by the mainstream and broadcasted out, and if you don't actually, you know, do what everybody is doing, how is it a protest?
Yeah, it's, you know, not.
It's not a protest anymore to me, if I, the way I look at it.
And that's kind
to
of the
honest, kind of, I wanna say,
go ahead.
Well, what I want to say real quick is that to me it seems like it's more of judgment. Oh, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, pointing out faults rather than recognizing the efforts that are being put in to build progress in our community. And I think we need more of that versus just pointing out our inadequacies.
Ooh, look at you busting out the big old college words, inadequacy. Let me write that down.
Inadequacy.
I like that too. Like I say, man, it's just crazy how, you know, it went from being hated for, you know, kneeling to being hated for not kneeling. You know, the change in rhetoric went 360. And When I seen one thing I seen was the on CBS News one morning, they was talking about the 100-year anniversary of the Tulsa, Oklahoma Black Wall Street bombing. And I've never seen them even acknowledge Tulsa and Black Wall Street being destroyed, let alone having something on TV, you know, celebrating the 100th anniversary of this tragic event. And I'm sitting there like, the narrative is definitely flip-flopped. And without going too much into it, I think our people need to be aware of you know, people advocating for black equality and those trying to use, you know, our pain to further their agenda, you know, because it's some grifters out there and there's some people trying to use, you know, 400 years of bondage plus the 100 years of Jim Crow and everything else. That's very painful when you look back on it. And I think, you know, people using that emotional reaction to trying to push their agenda more so than actually being sincere and trying to help the cause. So be cognizant of that.
Oh, yeah, bro. It's definitely too, like, you got the black people that's still talking about we want our 40 acres and a mule. And then you have the black side that's like, we just want an apology. Nah, fuck that. You know what I mean? Like we, you know, some of us want what's old, even if it's not in a check of reparations. We want more than an acknowledgement because everybody already knows what it is, right? I think a lot of, from what I get, the backlash on social media for some of the stances I take is that we should already just accept what happened and go forward. That's a lot of what the direction I get from a lot of black
people.
Exactly. And I don't agree with that because that's pretty much throwing the white flag in. That's almost, you know, when people say, well, why wouldn't you vote? And, you know, you better off voting for the lesser of two evils than to not vote at all. Well, why would you vote for somebody that don't rock with you? That's almost as disrespectful as not voting, just to vote to wave the white flag. So, you know, I think our black community is still divided into what we want. We don't, like we talked about, we don't come to the table and sit down and have a set agenda. That's why you have black people championing the injury of this NBA player because he was a direct opposition to the way they think. You know what I mean? So it's not so much that they probably don't like him. They just don't. He wasn't their champion. Right. And because of that, now you're our enemy. And that's because we don't, you know, a lot of our community not ready to fight for themselves. And that's just the complete honest truth. They're not ready to fight for themselves. And until we ready to individually stand up and fight and not just loot and not just vote, you know, not just say, oh, let's go vote for Joe Biden because he's the best we got. Nah, fuck that. You know what I mean? That's yeah. fucking stupid, you know, so.
Yeah, and hitting on that reparation thing that you're hitting on. And also, I've seen a lot of ADOS, American Descendants of Slave. I don't know if y'all seen it or not, but Jay-Z and Pharrell Williams recently released a video called Entrepreneur. And I checked out the video the other day because I've seen a lot of, you know, Twitter talk about it. And I've been very critical of a lot of, you know, Jay-Z moves and a lot of these dudes that I consider the black boule, you know, these bourgeois kind of the moves they make sometimes. But I watched the video, man, and to me, it was pretty inspiring, man. It highlighted a bunch of entrepreneurs, black entrepreneurs that went out there, you know, built businesses and built. But I think the one thing that sparked controversy is that one of the lines that Jay-Z say when he was spitting his verse, I think he said, like, you know, don't wait on nobody to throw you a bone, go out and get your own, or something to that context. And I seen the ADOS going crazy, like, this dude got the nerve to speak and blah, 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 he insulting us. And I'm like, I didn't even look at it that way. First of all, the video is very inspiring, yo. It's showing all these people. Even one dude, it showed he actually, like, bought a plantation and made, like, a business. You know what I'm saying? Like a bed and breakfast. He made something out of the plantation. And it was just crazy what some of these people were doing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it wasn't just, you know, mainstream people. They was highlighting regular everyday people building businesses. And I'm like, so y'all mad at you know, Jay-Z for saying go get your own, but y'all sitting around waiting on, you know, reparations, which probably ain't gonna, I'll be honest with you, it's probably not gonna happen, yo.
They sitting around waiting, that ain't coming because the Dems ain't gonna pass it because the election's so close. They gonna say, well, you ain't get the deal, you know what I'm saying? Like, we as a community, we still waiting for somebody to save us. It ain't gonna happen. It ain't happen.
Instead of building ourselves in the community and building the community and looking inward and saying, what can we do as a community to strengthen one another and build ourselves up? Whether that, because I hear so much talk of people, you know, in our community that don't support small businesses and don't support, you know, entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs, people with ideas. And we need more of that. We need more people like us starting podcasts and getting together and thinking, okay, what can we do within our own community instead of waiting on white people to give us something?
Exactly.
Because just like y'all said, it might not never happen. We're gonna be waiting forever.
Yeah, that ain't happening. And some of these figures, some people throwing out. I seen one dude, he say 800K for every
what they gonna do with that though? Black. What they gonna do with that though?
Give it right back to white people.
Facts.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't own no means of manufacturing. Money. Yeah, you own no means of manufacturing. So all that got to go back. So you're basically going to infuse the other community that you're so-called fighting against is what you're going to end up doing. You know what I'm saying? That's why I say if you're going to do anything, do land. Like, hey, y'all, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
This state carved out for y'all, you know what I'm saying? Make your claim, put your paperwork in, and you get your land, and you can build a business or something. You know what I'm saying? But
even like what they do for Native Americans, you know, they don't pay for health insurance. They don't pay for, I don't know, a bunch of different things. But there's a lot of things that they don't pay for. They could even do something like that. But I don't think they should give us just checks, big checks. You know?
Oh, no, that money going to be gone in less than 2 weeks. I give it 16 days. I'm going to give it 2 weeks plus two before that money gone. And we like, but y'all didn't give us education on what to do with money. It's going to happen, you know, and I think the also too, people don't really understand business and international trade and really the state of our economy. Right. There's elementary schools that teach Chinese in school. Why are they teaching Chinese? Because that's one of the biggest international traders that the U.S. that we deal with. And, you know, when it comes to trade and business, you know, and when people talk about black people, you know, I feel like sometimes I'll be talking to people and they act like Wakanda is real. Like there's a secret society of Africans with sitting on a gold mine of rare metal that's going to save every black person. And they can say that, you know, they were a descendant of this tribe and tap in, like, you know, they'd be talking like white people, like there aren't military bases all over the world. And there aren't, you know, like the Europeans aren't like pretty much integrated with everything in the world. So it's like, you know, when we really look at things, you know, it takes we really can't build without adhering to some of, at least some of their policies, right? Like, you got to keep it a buck. Like, you see what happened with Nick Cannon, which we talked about. As soon as you step out of line, they cancel you. They'll let you say what you're speaking. But, you know, as soon as Nick Cannon stepped out of line and started talking about Jews, they canceled his ass. You know what I'm saying? They canceled his ass. So, you know, this notion that we can completely separate when we have nothing is stupid right now. That should have happened 100 years ago. You know what I mean?
But what you can do is build up. Not to cut you off, my bad. But what we can do is you can build up, man. And one thing I hate is when people try to make these examples like, oh, if give us money, we don't know how to do this, we don't know how to do that, we can't do this, and we need cut a check to help us build up and all this other shit. But if you look at it, man, the Chinese, you hit on a good point with China, right? The Chinese they had that country took over. They looked at them like a third world country, man. They had them on opium, dope, and used them to build the railroad. You know what I'm saying? They was one step above a nigga at one point. You know what I'm saying? Half, you know what I mean? And now look at them. You know what I'm saying? They control business. They control commerce. I don't agree with the politics and what they do a lot of times, but you can't deny their impact on the globe. They pretty much took over manufacturing. They don't even build shit in the United States no more, yo. And they took that. And we control pretty much the entertainment industry, the hair care industry. All these industries we pretty much are the main face of, but we don't own no stock in those industries. And that's crazy to me, dude. Like, we got to take over some of these industries and start building up from the ground up, man. At least take over the black hair care industry, man.
That joint be crazy. You go into a black hair care store, and it's primarily going to be ran by a Chinese person or Asian. And they know they shit. They should be stocked with all the best hair, all the best black products. I go in them shits. And it's like, how are they selling us? You know, it's almost like they peddling crack.
The Yankee.
That's got to be a billion-dollar business. And just like telling the lady that did my nails the other day, she runs her own business. She got her own little shop set up behind her house and everything. It's legit. And she was telling me, we need more black nail salons, because what do black women do? We love to look nice. We love to get our nails done, feet done, hair done. They're making millions off of us and we don't own anything. And what she said was, she has a homegirl that owns a hair store. And she told her homegirl, like, hey, you know, I want to keep coming here, but I need these products and you don't sell them. And what she said is her homegirl told her that those products, you know, the distributors won't sell her that stuff, pretty much shutting her out. So there's no real direct line of where she can get that stuff from, because the Asians have dominated nail and hair care.
Mm-hmm. And so that's one of their
own way.
That's one of their philosophies, too, is only buy from their own but sell to anybody. So that's why they not, you know, letting you in terms of being a distributor and stuff like that. They got that locked out. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is a kind of crazy perception. I never really thought of that, right? Like, they not only do they own kind of lock down, monopolize the market from a sales perspective, but they probably lock down the distribution market as well. And fit, you know, that's kind of, and, but, you know, we only say that white people do that to us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we only say that white people historically do that to us, but everybody does it. Indians do it. The Chinese people do it. The Spanish people do it as well. We don't talk about the Spanish, you know, because we allow them to say the N-word real smoothly. But when you go out to get that apprenticeship, you know, when they doing carpentry and all of that stuff and roofing, they ain't hiring brothers like that. They don't want you around their women. You know what I'm saying? They keep to their own, and you can't say it's racist. You know what I'm saying? You can't say it's racism. It's just that they protecting their community.
And black people. I posted a video earlier talking about some of that. I think that black people have to build a culture to where we don't really have to depend on nobody to give us anything. It's like, I feel like we're at a state where we're needing other people to help us build, you know, and we're trying to get to a spot. But once we get on top with it, we're going to dominate the industry, because that's what we do. We have the talent. We spend money. And I feel like that money should be generated back within the black community. But we spend it with everybody else.
I'm going to say this. I think we have the potential. I don't think we have the talent as an overall community. And I say that wholeheartedly, not saying that we don't have potential. But if you, like, a lot of people that I know, you know, in the Black communities, if you look at the diversity of the skill set, like, not even just business, right? And you know, you kind of, it's just any skill set. Like, generally, people, like, I know a lot of people that, you know, they come, they went to a 4-year university and they came out and became a cop. They came out, became a firefighter. They came out and became a barber, right? I'm not knocking those, any of those professions, but there are no, those aren't needed skills, right? Barbering, yes, to an extent, but policing, firefighters, and even teachers to an extent, right? Because a lot of curriculum are taught by state. Those, we lose a lot of skill sets, right? Like, where it's hard for us to get into the commerce of selling services and selling businesses, right? Because it's all about supply and demand. Not every place is going to have the same demand. So you know, when you have a community with diversified skill sets, you're able to now expand and capitalize off of what's needed. So because of that, I'm not saying all places down south. I've seen it a lot more down south, where you've seen brothers out there going to get it. Maybe they had a lawn care business. Maybe they had a moving business. Maybe they had, met some electricians. But, you know, not saying that they don't exist. I'm not saying that there's none out there. But, you know, I've seen how other cultures, they'll bring a young brother up and be like, hey, you know, I see your future. You a CD student. Come let me put you in the spring. You know, we're going to get you an electrician license. I'm going to teach you something. That doesn't happen in the Black community.
Yeah, they more so playing
that's
out.
That's what we definitely need more of.
Yeah, they decide, you even the Indians, you'd be like, hey, we need two doctors. You know what I mean? You finna be a doctor. Yeah. It's no choice in the matter. You know what I'm saying? I think we need more so planning. You know what I mean? And then one thing, man, I would say, stop encouraging these. I love music, but we don't need no more damn rappers.
I know that's no right. Rappers. Please.
Stop
Please.
It, yo. And if you are going to be a rapper, master your skill set. Learn, if you're going to dive into the music industry, don't be a rapper, be an artist. Learn to produce. Learn to film videos. Learn to play an instrument, for God's sake. But no more rappers, though.
Stop talking about things you don't do. I personally, you know, I'm looking at, you know, like, I love rap music. I love rap music. I love my culture. But I'm tired of seeing broke brothers. If you got the Air Force Ones with the tongue leaning, I know you're not rocking that Benz you talking about in your bar show. You know what I'm saying? Like, it might be, let's get away from, because I think that's how we get jammed up, right? We got these people that put on these personas now that they have to live up to, right? And so we get people, we jam ourselves up lying to ourselves. You know what I mean? And that's a different topic. We kind of went off topic, but
we went all over the place. But I think we pretty much hit the nail on the head in terms of, you know, Jonathan Isaac and what he was doing, and even went into, you know, the Black entrepreneurship and, you know, and things we need to do as a, you know, community to try to uplift each other rather than tear each other down for tearing an ACL. That's just despicable in my eyes. But let's move on to the next
Hold
topic.
On, which, I want
to
say one last thing, Jonathan Isaac. Was one of my fantasy sleepers. When that FanDuel kicked in, I was hitting Jonathan. I was catching licks off Jonathan Isaac. So, and Orlando don't look too bad in the playoffs. So, you know, speedy recovery. You know, technology is wonderful. I hope he can bounce back from this. And
New York boy too. He up from New York too, man. So yeah. Shout out to Jonathan Isaac, man. Speedy recovery. And our next subject right now we got is Joe Biden. The news of the day. Joe Biden picks Kamala Harris as his VP. The top cop, baby. And what does this do for his campaign? And what are your reactions to this so-called historic decision?
Very analytical decision. I think with the state, I'm an IT guy, you know, and I'm looking at the data behind probably who he picked, and he picked, you know, let's look at what she looks like. Kamala Harris is an attractive woman. Let's start with that and just call it what it is. She's an attractive Black woman. And if he needs a percentage of votes, well, Black women You know, definitely the, I'm not going to, you know, outside of the population, with one in every three black men being locked up, we could probably say that a large portion of that percentage probably have felonies as well. So there's probably like really like a 3.5 to maybe 4 times the amount of black women voters than there are black male voters. So who did they pick? They picked a black educated woman. What, she went to Howard, you know, Howard University. You know what I'm saying?
HBCU.
You know, but you know, her narrative outside of what's already out there is, you know, it's very inspiring to the black woman. Now, I think the black woman is in a transition too, where I feel like they feel like they're being oppressed, you know, but I have conversations with black women when I just question why they're picking Kamala Harris. I just ask why. And they say they tired of black women not getting equal rights. And when I start going down the stats, they ignore, you know, the damage that she has done to the black woman, you know, indirectly by attacking the black man. And it's like, well, what has the black, how do, you know, I always ask black women, how do, especially ones in relationships, how does your black man oppress you? You know, to the point where you want to disregard the damage that Kamala Harris has done. And I get it. She was a attorney general. She was a district attorney. She might have not purposely did damage. I can't say what her intent was, but, you know, it's inherent that she did damage. She did some massive damage. Even if it was one life lost due to her seeking a victory in the courtroom. You know, like the one guy who did 18 years and she withheld evidence, which was true. You know, they tried to say that wasn't true, but it was true. Mm. That one life lost is generations damage, you know. So word. I feel like they did an analytical move. It's probably one of the smartest things Joe Biden has done in this term with, you know, black women now economically pretty much surpassing the black men. You know, economically, black women make equally, if not more, and that's due to probably them having to do as much, you know, with single moms. You know, so you know, it's I think it's just a calculated move.
Yeah, analytical move. And I'd be kind of interested to hear, since we have a resident, you know, black woman here on the podcast, I'm interested to hear, you know, Reese's perspective on Kamala Harris and what she thinks about that VP pick.
So I definitely agree with El Miguel. It was definitely calculated. And for anyone who doesn't know Kamala Harris's background, they will see her as an AKA... I think she did graduate from Howard University, a Howard University graduate, black woman, and they will automatically assume that she's on their side, not knowing that she's the reason for so many black men being incarcerated when she was a senator in California. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, are you using the fact that you are mixed with black to pander to the black community just so that you can help Joe Biden get the black vote and not really caring about the, you know, how, what impact you're having on our community? Because neither one of them has really said what they're doing for the black community. Joe Biden hasn't came out and said anything. Only thing he said is, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
No so policies. In his mind,
right. So in his mind, all he needs to do is not be Donald Trump. Well, that's not good enough. So you're bringing her on as your, you know, as your running mate to be your VP, but neither one of you, I haven't heard her come out and say what she plans to do for black folks. And I saw an interview that she did when someone spoke of reparations, even though we just talked about reparations and what good we think that'll do for the black community. But even still, what is your goal for the black community, since we're marginalized as a whole? And I didn't hear anything, and I'm not really the type to be flattered by anybody's looks. What's coming out of your mouth? What do you plan to do for us? But so many people are happy. Charlemagne, you know, campaigned for her.
All the blue checks. All the blue checks.
Yeah. Campaigned for her. So I'm like, y'all are entertainers and celebrities. You're probably just on her payroll, or you're probably just here to pander, you know, to get a favor in for later on. But what are y'all really doing for the community as a whole? Because we need to uplift the community, you know? So I'm not really here for it at all. Well, not really. I'm not here for it because I see what it is. You're here, you know, to be the VP for a white man, but you're not making sure that he's taking care of black people as a whole. You haven't come out and said anything about what you're doing for us. And yeah. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah. And one thing I would like to say, I hate when people play the black police and, you know, question somebody's blackness, such as whether or not, you know, they black or not, you know what I'm saying? But the one thing I will say with Kamala, that she, one thing, she didn't really embrace her blackness like that. I think she would claim, what, East Indian or something like that, up to her recent VP campaign. All of a sudden, this, you know, I'm smoking, you know, weed and listening to Tupac in college, even though Tupac wasn't even out when I was in college. But that's a whole different, you know, thing. And it just seems opportunist, man. It kind of reminds me of the time that Hillary Clinton went on the Breakfast Club pulling the hot sauce out of her bag, you know. Like, you go on the Breakfast Club and pandering, and that's automatic a red flag for me. And speaking of those blue checks coming out and waving the flag and being all happy, I seen something very interesting, man, with Sean King. And I really don't like Sean King at all. I think he's like the male Rachel Dozier, you know what I'm saying? I think he went and got a fade and said he was black. But anyway, and it showed like one of those tweets he put out from like 2 years ago when he talked shit about Kamala, about her record, the terms of prosecutor and what she did. And then like 2 years later, showed him like, yay, you know, Kamala's the VP pick, historic moment. And it's like, Jesus Christ, y'all don't even try to hide this. You could at least deleted that old tweet, bruh, before you know what I'm saying, decide to contradict yourself a couple years later. And one thing, you know, I think El Miguel hit it on the head when he talked about, you know, her record as a prosecutor, as a district attorney, the top, you know, she called herself a top cop. That's not me putting words in her mouth, right? And how she held the man pretty much a death row on a technicality while he was, you know, innocent. She also, like, declined to have the cops wear body cams, right? She declined that option. She didn't want that. And then what a lot of people don't know, because I've been digging in the crates, right? The guy, I believe he's Trump's current Secretary of Treasury, right? Steve Mnuchin. He used to own a bunch of banks in California. And one dude that worked for Kamala said they had evidence of thousands of crimes that this dude pulled off, right? And she pretty much declined to prosecute that dude. So she's been playing the game in terms of, you know, trying to infiltrate politics. And one thing I will say is that I truly believe that presidents are not really born. You know, they plan on having presidents, right? From when you're born, I think they plan a certain path. And we hit it earlier when we talked about how, you know, a lot of people in the Indian community kind of plan what your kid's going to do, right? And I think by her going to HBCU, going to Howard, President AKA, district attorney, allegations of us sleeping away up to the top in terms of being a district attorney and sleeping with certain people, I think Willie Taggart or something she was messing around with, married man and all this other stuff. It seems like this was a path, right? Because they tried to get in earlier with the debates and you've seen what Tulsi did to her on the stage, you know what I mean? Tulsi Gabbard, which might have been a better, to me, VP pick, you know, or even Nina Turner. They didn't even look at Nina Turner, but she don't play no games. So it seemed like they had something in their mind said, all right, we need to get, you know, Kamala in as this VP. And honestly, man, I would take a long, hard look this election at who you're voting in, because we all know Biden ain't quite right. If you've seen any of his interviews, you've seen any of his speeches, he looks to be in decline. The man's 77 years old, been in politics for 30 years, right? It's about time to hang it up. But anyway, doesn't quite look like, you know, he's in the best mental state right now. I firmly don't believe he's going to make it 8 years, let alone four. So if whoever you vote for VP on that side is probably going to be your president. So I think you need to take a long, hard look at what you're voting on. Because most black males I know, they real adamant about protecting their family. I'm very Second Amendment heavy. You know what I'm saying? I think we should have any means we need to protect our families, things of that nature. So be careful, and when you go in the booth. I understand a lot of people want to get 45 out and all this other stuff, but, you know, if you vote for the lesser two evils, you're still voting for evil. So take a long, hard look at that.
I'm also going to tie in, you know, I want to just hop in and say that, you know, it's kind of discouraging seeing the black women not even be objective, right? Like, they put in a person that they could relate to, and what I'm seeing from some black women, even educated black women, is disregard how she treated the black man. And I, you know, as a black man who takes care of my household, right? Like, I think the black man has this narrative, like, we don't do anything in our communities, right? And so it's kind of, you know, and I'm objective to kind of, I like her personally. I like anybody that becomes, that reached that plat, you know, that top of the mountain in any profession, especially from, you know, as a black woman in that industry. It had to be tough. But, you know, when we look at her track record, when I watch Fruitvale Station, you know what I mean, to see Oscar Grant getting shot in the back and finding out that, you know, she could have done something, and right, and this is before doing things, you know, prosecuting cops was even a thing, right? That never was a thing until recent, for the most part. So, you know, it's kind of disheartening to see the black woman not even really understand the value of a black man in the community, to where they want to just disregard the damage done to the black woman indirectly by, you know, by throwing a black man under the bus, and they want to continue that. You know, they just want to disregard that. It's kind of alarming. It's kind of hurtful. I'm going to be completely transparent, especially from the educated black women out there killing it, where, you know, it's like it don't even matter what she's done, right? And which is kind of like what they slamming Trump for, right? The people that support Trump, they, you know, they generally say, we don't care what he says. We just like him. And they kind of doing the same thing. And when you look at the track record, she's done more damage to the black man than Donald Trump has. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, you really don't care. It's not about the issues. It's about who can you relate to the most. It's really a popularity contest all around.
Exactly. And
you know, it's kind of, it's sad that you see the black community now is deviating from the issues and just going for who they like, you know, and it's kind of, it's just pretty, I'm gonna be honest, it's just hurtful. It's just, it really is. So
I think the way they even approached to how to pick the VP pick, like, I think they came out months ago and was like, you know, Biden's gonna pick a woman of color to be his VP, like. Like, it's like, so now, so instead of just being like, I'm going to pick the best candidate, I'm going to pick the best available person to be VP, and it just so happens to be a black woman, you saying that I'm going to pick the best black woman I can find. You know what I'm saying? That in itself is insulting. So that's not the best candidate. That's just the best black woman you can find.
He wasn't even the top five best candidate, right? And like, if we just look at who had the most potential to win, she dropped out of the race December 2019.
No delegates. She didn't pick up no delegates, bro.
Yeah, it's none, right? So black women, right? And that's who they're targeting when they're putting her in position. And black men, I'll say black men too, but primarily black women, and minority women. They didn't vote for her. They didn't rock with her, you know. So, you know, now it's all of a sudden this, you know, she's the champion, and it's just one of those things. Like, how? When was she a champion when she was running for president? Like, she didn't even make the top four, you know, the top five. So now we're going with the participation trophy candidate and and saying, like, she's the best we got. Well, if that's the best you got, I don't want no parts of it, you know. And in a complete disregard for how she's impacted black families. And it's kind of crazy because it'd be like, she's only did it to eight men. Like, yo, those eight men can make 1,000, you know, years with the generations of men and women. So, you know, it's just so crazy you know, specifically black women just so quick to disregard her damage and Joe Biden damage. Like, let's not, you know, forget Joe Biden is still proud for that 1994 crime bill.
Yeah, Mr. Like, crime bill.
Yo, he's still proud for that joint, you know. And they like, well, Donald Trump, we got to get him out of office because he don't like us. Well, shit, neither does Joe Biden, you know. And they just so quick to, it's almost like, well, he ain't do it to us, so we don't know what it feel like. Well, you should know what it feel like, you know. And that's, it's just crazy, bro. I don't.
And it's crazy how you pick that ticket, and speaking on what you said, pick that ticket in the midst of this, you know, big old police backlash, defund the police movement and all this other, and you go pick up two people that are probably responsible for locking up more people than a lot of police departments out here in the United States. This is your ticket, you know. It's kind of interesting that this is the ticket you're putting up, you know what I'm saying? And it would be different if they ran that ticket as, which they could do with, you know, with the riots going on and things. They can run that ticket as a tough on crime ticket, but they're not even running it as a tough on crime type of campaign. They're running it as a, you know, we feel your pain, you know, we're going to defund the police type of campaign and all this other stuff. Not that Biden has said that, but, you know, Kamala has, you know, kind of hinted that she's kind of, you know, more so on a trail of reforming the police department and all this other stuff. So it's kind of crazy that that's the best ticket you could put in the midst of what's going on currently in the country, man. But I think that's more so ties into the next topic we got too, with the identity politics, right? They trying to put up a woman of color or a black woman to identify with people, right? So my thing is, are these identity politics where you have, you know, Republican versus Democrat, red versus blue, liberal versus conservative, you know, the MAGA people versus the woke cancel culture, is this kind of all just a distraction for something deeper? Is it a divide and conquer type of deal? Or, you know, are these actual opposition movements? You know what I'm saying? So what y'all got?
I think you got to have a movement that's actually moving, all right? The MAGA movement got him in the White House. Yeah. Anything else isn't doing it. I mean, we is at this point in time, right now, it's not really doing anything. So I find it hard to believe that. I hate even talking about it, because I'm not a ride the wave type of person when it comes to political things. I'm very analytical and logical, and I look at a person's track record, right? If we really want to have equality, we have to look at the content that a person puts out, or the product that a person puts out. You know, let's look at their track record. Let's look at their resume, regardless of the color of their skin, you know. Just because a person is black doesn't mean that they for black people, you know. and now I'm starting to even see things like once you start that group think type of wave, you know, you just buy into the system because they want you to do that. They want you to grow up and then all have the same ideal principle, you know, because they already have an encounter to that, you know. Right. I'm thinking, you know, we should, as black people, we should be looking at the economics of things solely. Like, I don't care what a person say or what a person feel, to group up with people that aren't trying to economically grow the community is a death sentence, you know. But regardless of what names you slap on to anybody, or, you know, MAGA or whatever you want to be a part of, make sure that they're economically about to at least provide for you, you know. It's like when people become bloods and they ain't getting no money, you just wearing red all day, red flags on, and then you ain't even feeding you just out here starving, out here doing dumb stuff, and part of an organization that can't even do nothing for you or anything. Exactly. I just go and attack bloods, you know what I mean. I know a lot of bloods, I know people that's affiliated with a lot of different organizations, and they don't do criminal activity, but it's like being a part of an organization that ain't even doing anything for you, you know. Exactly. Just, why, you know?
Yeah, that's one thing I put up a little something on social media the other day talking about all skin folk ain't kin folk, right? And I think they trying to play the identity politics game, but at the same time, if you're not of a certain ideology, you're not even included in that wave, right? So, like, say certain people, like, you know, we got to pick, you know, we need to uplift the black woman, need to protect the black woman or whatever, but let Candace Owens right now get hit in the face, and then nobody's going to be like, oh, we had to protect the black woman, but fuck Candace Owens, you know what I mean, even though as black as it, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of plays into a certain ideology, right? So the skin tone is one thing, but if you're not following the mainstream narrative of what these people want, even if you got skin tone, it really don't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, let's piggyback off that, right? Like, when we look at Candace Owens and we look at Kamala Harris, shit, if Candace Owens was running against Kamala Harris, I probably would vote for her over Kamala Harris. I probably, you know, like, objectively would vote for Candace Owens over Kamala Harris.
And you can't even really make a huge distinction, because if you be like Candace Owens and Kamala Harris, but at the same time, look at who their spouses are too. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. What's the difference, right? If we really break down, like, what is the difference? One is painted, you know, by the I hate to use the word liberal media, but you know, one, you know, Candace Owens has became the face of the Republican and the conservative movement for black people, right? They use her to get the black people on board, even though she says 35% things that are just accurate. That is just, you know, some stuff is just concrete. It is what it is. But then a lot of stuff becomes a personal bias, right? And she does that because, you know, she is a content creator. She has her own show. You know,
appeal to your base.
It is what it is, you know. But same as Kamala Harris does the same thing. She ran a whole campaign talking about, when they asked her tough questions, I don't care, we just got to get Trump out of the office, you know. And it's like, yo, we about to make her the VP, make her in charge of nukes, all kind of crazy power, and she don't care about no black issue. Not only that, you know, not saying you can't be white, you be married to a white man, but how could you really be pro-black and be married to a white man? If she becomes the vice president, the first man is now a white man. It ain't a black man.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
So, you know, how, when we look at how power is passed down, she can't possibly be for the black community when she's not really invested in the black community, other than putting black people in prison. Not saying she hasn't given back. I'm sure she's probably done community service and showed up to events and mentored a couple black girls and stuff. But let's talk economics, you know, and her job was to lock people up. And what we see when we dig into her track record, she was locking up people unjustly. You know, I think as an attorney general, your job should be to seek justice, not to lock people up. You know, maybe as a district attorney, yeah, maybe your job is to lock people up. But as an attorney general, you should be looking at what's right and wrong, and drawing a line of delineation for what justice is. And she didn't do that, you know. And the more I dig deep, the more it's like, damn, she was blocking all kind of evidence that could have overturned 10-year sentences, 18-year sentences. That's a person's whole life, you know. And it's like, I feel for that, because it's like, yo, I could. What if I was in the wrong place in the wrong time, got accused of something, and there was then evidence that could be used to get me out of prison and send me back to my family, and it was blocked by a black woman? I don't know how I would take that. Exactly. If you know what I'm saying? And then it sends the wrong message that said, you know, it's almost like when in my time in the military, some of the worst leaders that I had were black people, because they felt like they had to be extra hard on black people to get to show their worth to the social climate.
Exactly. They had to show out.
I had a black major tell me, I was just talking, I was briefing a room full of, like, I think it was like maybe 10 people, and I didn't say nothing derogatory. I was very professional. He said, oh, well, this isn't the subway in DC on the way to a party, Sergeant Lowe. You know what I mean? He really said some real racist shit. And I told a white person, I said, yo, that motherfucker's racist. And they looked at me confused. You know what I mean? Like, how could a black person be racist to another black person? I said, well, he said some racist shit. I look at what he said. You know what I mean? It was, you know, like, and so, you know, it's just that whole group, you know, that group. I've never been that type of person. I don't even understand people that like to group up, because that's never been I've always been a lone wolf, you know, and
Where that monolithic thinking is how you end up, you know, in situations where, you know, it's not beneficial to you. You know what I'm saying? You need multiple and diverse way of thinking, and you need to take other people's opinion into consideration, man, because if you just went off with everything that think like you think, you ain't gonna never grow. You ain't gonna never learn. You know what I'm saying? So I've always been against like that monolithic thinking and just, you know, and politics is super monolithic in the black community. Like if you ain't voting Democrat, if you not, you know, appealing to these democratic ideals, whatever on their agenda, then it's like you gotta go. You know what I'm saying? I know people are cut off, you know, talking to their parents and shit because of how they vote, how they think politically. So it's like you finna cut off the people who raised you, gave you life, for some person in a suit, a pantsuit, you know what I'm saying, who don't even know you and probably would turn their nose up and walk past you if you said hi if they weren't trying to get your damn vote, right? So So that's kind of more so speaks on idol worship to me. We need to get out of that monolithic thinking and expand. And it's also kind of funny how they kind of like had Kamala's husband. I ain't seen that dude yet, man. You got to like Google pictures and dig to find that cat, you know. So let me toss this over to Reese, man. He's been quite kind of quiet on the subject. Does the fact that they're not married to black spouses, talking in terms of Kamala Harris and, you know, Candace Owens or whatever, does that change your perception of them in your mind?
It's funny you say that, because I want to take it back real quick to what I said about her being biracial. But to me, you can be biracial, triracial, but you're still all of those ethnicities that you're mixed with. But I feel that when I'm speaking about Kamala Harris, she's pandering to a certain, you know, she's pandering to black folks because it benefits her, but she didn't care about the black man when she was throwing them in prison. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's what people aren't really looking at or researching or really understanding now when they're uplifting her. And I think that's an issue. And I do think definitely her having a spouse that is white influences whatever decision she's going to make as the vice president. Now, I'm not going to say that there are definitely people, black women, who have spouses that are white, and there's an understanding where they both understand the culture differences and they understand the differences being of different race. But you really have to understand the struggles and the trials and tribulations of that person. So I think that her having a white spouse really just depends on whether that spouse really cares about black struggle.
I like that. So on a certain way, you know, a lot of times they throw it out to the black man, because a lot of black men have spouses of different ethnicity. And the first thing they say is, can you be pro-black and have a spouse of a different ethnicity? And I think that question is more so times directed at the black man, because it's more so looked as the black man, particularly if he's successful, the first thing he wants to do is go get him a Becky or go get him some exotic or something foreign. So it's kind of crazy to kind of see those tables
because
turn.
Because they grew up. My bad. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
You good? You there?
Yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you ain't cut me off. Go ahead. That was a door or something. Go ahead.
No, I was just, yeah, you heard the door too. But no, I was just saying, I agree. I think it just, you have to really understand that person's background and not just be with them you have to understand their background. And if you're going to be the VP, you have to understand the struggles of the people this person is supposedly fighting for to take on that responsibility.
Yeah, I like that. So I think on that note, before we get into the next subject, let's go ahead and take a station identification break real quick. And then we'll get on something a little bit, you know, more lighthearted, but not quite. We'll get off the political. I know y'all probably get tired of hearing about politics all the time. So we'll switch it up a little bit and talk about the WAP. All right. So station identification break. We'll be right back.
Greetings, everyone. This is Koku from the Bitter Medicine Podcast, inviting you to tune in to the Bitter Medicine Podcast on KWAZ Radio.
Peace, family. This is Oni, inviting you to listen to the pro-black perspective, where black problems are addressed with black solutions.
So, all right, we're back. And our next subject here is the objectification of our women continues with the new Megan Thee Stallion Cardi B video WAP. So my question is there a place in the mainstream for non-sexual women rappers? And I want to put it out there. Oh, go ahead. You got it.
Finish. I just want to start before El Miguel, that's all.
Oh, yeah. He do be on the rant, don't he? But I want to say, in terms of me, when I saw the video, and I mean, I've seen worse things in my lifetime and heard worse things. I'm not really tripping on the content. What I will say is that it seems today that we don't really have a good balance, I would say, in terms of the material that's being put out, particularly on the woman's side. It seems like it all has to be sexual or, you know, stripper type of music, whatever. And you don't really see, even on some of the women's albums, they have, you know, deeper cuts, and they got deeper, you know, records that's, you know, going to other things outside of just shaking your ass. But it seems as though those records don't get traction. And one thing I will say, I heard Cardi B on an interview, and what she was saying was that she put out that that one song with Kalani, I forgot, Ring or something like that. And she said that was one of her worst charting songs that she had. She said because people didn't want to hear that kind of content. They just want to hear, you know, the booty shaking music. And I don't know if that's true or not, you know what I'm saying? But I will say it seems like we had a better balance back in the day in terms of, you know, even though like a Foxy Brown was a sexual rapper, they still spitting, you know what I'm saying? They still was spitting bars like dudes, you know what I'm saying? In terms of their content, it wasn't just all like shake my ass, fucking 30 niggas type of content. So I know Sharice, you're anxious to get up in there. I want to hear your thoughts on terms of you know, what you thought about the WAP video and the reaction of people afterwards.
Very anxious. So I will say the graphics and everything I really liked on the video. It was beautiful. The styles were beautiful. You know, the dancing was everything. The video, the videography was everything. But they can't even play the song on the radio because it's so explicit. So from a more mature Sharice version of myself, I can say, we don't need to be hearing that kind of stuff. You know, younger, because we have younger women that hear that, and that's what they're aspiring to do. That's what they think is cool. That's what they think, you know, is acceptable in our culture. And Ari Lennox and SZA, we got Rhapsody. Who else we got? Well, Summer Walker's a little bit raunchy.
Yeah, but I like Jean Grey a little bit under the radar, but she be spitting. Is it quite a few? Jean Grey, she be spitting. She a New York rapper. She be spitting. She a little old school.
But I like Azealia Banks. I like Azealia Banks' music, even though people really hate her for real.
She's not really hip hop though, is she? She more so alternative.
Pop. Well, she raps though. So she's kind of a mix though. She raps, she's pop, she's more like techno type thing. But I just think it's there can be a balance, I guess. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that her as far as like that kind of raunchy music, we have a lot of it coming out. And I think there's more of an overload. You got the City Girls, you got Mulatto, Light Skin Keisha, Nicki Minaj, you got the, you know, Cardi B's. I think it's, and they call it liberating women, but to me, there's really nothing liberating about saying that you're going to scam a man out of some money. Because what's liberating about not advancing the Black community? But that's the mature Sharice speaking. Now, if I'm Sharice in the club and Sharice wanting to hang out and shake my ass, then that's something I want to shake my ass to. But when I'm listening to the actual lyrics, you're not advanced. You're not doing anything to teach us or advancing the community. You know, so I like the song in a sense because I like the old school beat. You know what I'm saying? Some hoes in this house. I like, you know, because we listened to stuff like that when we was coming up and we turned out fine.
I'm looking for hoes.
What you think? This nigga's stupid. I'm not playing
I'm
with
in a
your
club
ass.
And they shaking this house. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's. Go ahead, L, man.
You know, but I personally don't think nothing wrong with the record. You know, because Hove had a bar where he was saying pretty much like, are you going to tell me that Scarface the rapper does more damage than Scarface the movie. You know what I'm saying? And if you can't separate the entertainment from the content, you know, and just, you know, just say it's entertainment, then, you know, we got to stop looking at these artists or I'm not even gonna call them artists, entertainers, like they're our spirit animals and they're, you know, our champions. You know, they're out here to entertain. That's their job, you know. And we're knocking the people that's at the top of the rap game, right? I kind of find it hypocritical where anytime a female artist gets to the top of the game, now we start knocking her down. We did it with Nicki Minaj, we doing it with Cardi, we doing it with Megan. Even though Megan just got shot by a 5'3" dude, you know what I mean? We still knocking her down. So, you know, we don't say that when Jill Scott makes explicit sexual records. We don't say that when Erykah Badu makes explicit sexual records and actually sells incense that says it's the flavor of her vagina. You know what I mean? We don't knock the ebony conscious woman for selling the same thing that the less conscious women are doing. We don't knock Jill Scott. We don't knock Erykah Badu.
You know why though? You just said it because it she's less conscious. And you're, and don't get me wrong, there's a place for it all. I think there's a place for all these types of music. It's a place for the Watt record. It's a place for the Ari Lennox music. I listen to all this music when I'm doing different things. But what I'm saying, you know, Erykah Badu and Jill Scott, they're not getting as much traction. And they're not on. I heard Watt on the radio bleep out 1,000 times. I'm like, why y'all even trying to play this on the radio? It's really not that deep.
But this the funny thing though, right? Who's really listening to the Watt record?
Yeah.
Who's listening to it?
Who's listening to? Who do you think's listening to it?
It ain't men. Men ain't listening to the WAP record. I'm not going to my phone and going to Apple Music or Tidal and saying,
"There's some hoes in this house."
So when we sit there and try to make it seem like women want to be liberated and this and that, well, the women are the ones running the charts up. Yeah. It's supply and demand.
You know, I gotta agree with you on. I have to definitely because I want to say that a lot of the backlash that came from it came from men, and I get that, but from what you see in mainstream media is that's what a man wants. Like, no, you don't want to settle down with no hoe, you know. But
See, that's the thing. We can't say that's what a man wants. That's what's being presented. Like the, you know, if a woman is telling me she's a hoe, why should I not keep her? why is the narrative being that we have to save a hoe? When we treat a hoe like a hoe, then we wrong. We treat
hoes is trying to run that bag up because these hoes ain't trying to settle down with no man. These hoes don't want to get that bag.
The thing is, ain't Cardi married? The thing is,
she got the bag. It ain't real.
And then she said in the song that I don't cook, I don't clean, but I still got the rent. I think that part right there is setting a lot of these women up for failure because you ain't Cardi B, sweetheart. She a millionaire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're a millionaire, you can afford to pay the maids and pay the landscaper and all this other stuff.
Right.
You ain't got to cook and clean. But you got women out here that work at like fucking CVS and fucking Walmart. We're right here talking about they ain't got to cook or clean and to get the ring. Yes, you do. You know what I'm saying?
But on a side note, I will say if y'all paying half the bills, then everybody should cook and clean. It shouldn't just be the woman's job. But I get what you're saying. I just had to slide that in.
Let's really look at society right now. Let's just talk for the black woman, right? Black women are more educated. They make they get in the bag out there, and they having problems dating. How is it that they have so much to offer and have problems dating? You know what I'm saying? So the notion that, you know, I think a lot of the, not just the media, but what we're seeing is that black women, we always try to make it seem like because of what black women do or what they achieve, that they should get something, right? And we see that with men. Black men, you can have an ugly ass nigga that's the most successful person economically and he can't find a girl. You feel what I'm saying? Because it's not always about what you do or what you get or what you make. You know, it's a primal nature, it's a law of attraction. And a lot of women are sixes, but be talking about they want the dude that's a nine, a high value man. And that's not always the case. You know, Cardi B.
You can't aspire for more.
Huh?
You can't aspire.
No,
I said you can't aspire for more. I'm messing with you.
If you got three kids by two different baby daddies, right? And you talk about you, and you went and got fit. Say she was 180 pounds, 5'3", and she dropped down. She looked like a fitness model. You got three kids, sweetheart, at 34, 35. You're not going to appeal the high-value man that's single, successful, probably has his own business, that's educated.
That's true.
Don't appeal to him. So
I would even go deeper than that, my brother. I would say, because I know women don't got no kids, like early 30s, no kids, got houses, yeah, cars, all types of shit, and they still can't get them in. But I put some up the other day and relayed the numbers game out here to a lot of people. In terms of just black men to black women, it is 3 million more black women out there than black men. You know what I mean? We die more often. We get locked up. You know,
we fucked up out here.
And in the United States alone, there's 6 million more women than men. That's 6 million women are destined to be mistresses and cat women. You know what I'm saying? I'll go lesbo. You know what I'm saying? That is what it is. So I would say, and I got a lot of flack for this, but I would say, man, they should make polygamy not against the law. Because to be honest with you, going to another realm, they kind of screw. But hey, hear me out. Yeah, I ain't saying it's for everybody. This is only gonna be like 1 or 2% of the population that's really gonna participate in the fucking. I'm not even advocating for that. I wouldn't even participate in that. But I'm just saying for certain people, you know what I'm saying, it may be the best option they got. Would you rather be a side chick or would you, I know chicks done dated dudes for 3 years. Turned out the dude was married. Turned out the dude was married. At that point, you might as well have came into the damn family.
And to be honest, I agree with you on that, because a lot of times these women know they side chicks, or they trying to steal somebody, man or husband.
Exactly.
And at that point, you already sharing the pen. You might as well just, because that's what people in Africa do. You know, and they have it's a business move. Now I'm not down with that shit because I'm too want my own man to even agree to some shit like that, but it's a business move. If you already gonna be sharing the pen, you might as well just go ahead and, like you said, have a family, have the kids, support one another, and just.
What's worse, a dude with five baby mamas or a dude with three wives? Which one?
Exactly.
I'm gonna chime in and acknowledge, like, yo, these hoes is out here winning. Can we just not let's
no.
take a
How they winning?
I can go on OnlyFans right now and go look at a chick that probably just bought a Lamborghini truck off OnlyFans
now. Material shit, though. How she feel on the inside of her spirit?
That's the very
how her spirit feel.
How I look at it, you're going to be a hoe for somebody. At least get something in return. I know somebody's probably getting piped down right now for a steak dinner from Fridays. 2 for $20.
I know it's women, though, that aspire. I get what you're saying, and I will say that I know women who want more than that. That really want to be with somebody and really build a family.
It ain't all about looks and money.
But
let's look at this, though. I know I can go in history and look at a bunch of women who have become millionaires and billionaires off of laying on their back. I wouldn't say a lot. Let me finish. I don't know many men who became millionaires off of slinging dick. So when the notion is
different,
how are we liberating women? I get the notion.
That's the beautiful thing. Is he still there? That's the beautiful thing about the difference between men and women. He gone?
No, he probably dropped out. There you go.
I'm here.
That's the beautiful difference between men and women. Men will never fully understand women. Women will never fully understand men. Because there's a woman out there that will feel, I think most women, probably if they're out here hoeing and just saying, you know what, I'm just going to get this man for his money, what he got, it's because 9 times out of 10, I can guarantee you, she'd have been scorned and hurt by a man who didn't want the same thing she did. Just like men can say the same thing about women, you know?
Jeff Bezos' wife had just came up $300 billion.
She fucked him up.
Right? What did she do? In the story of Amazon, what was her role in the creation of Amazon?
Not the story of Amazon.
What she went through when he was broke?
It don't matter. What did she do?
I ain't gonna say that don't matter, bro. If you with a broke dude and then you with him through his come up, that's different.
That box was worth $300 billion?
I agree. That is.
If you got $600 billion, who cares?
Ain't no box on this earth worth $300 billion. Ain't no titty that round, no ass that fat worth $300 billion. We talking billion. So, you know what? That ain't love. That ain't love.
Well, you know, a marriage is a business partnership. You know what you, when you get married, unless you sign in a prenup, you are essentially agreeing that that's your business partner.
Well, let's talk about it, right?
It don't matter.
Exactly.
But you signed the paper, said that was your business partner, yo. That's all marriage is in the United States, is a business partnership. You can go to a church and get married. You ain't got to fill that paperwork out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but all right, so, but you know, going, tying it back into the, to when we're talking about substance, the thing is, the blueprint is out there for these women to have a better quality of life, slinging the same thing they've been slinging since the creation of man. Eve was slinging that box to Adam, got that motherfucker to eat that apple, clean off that tree, knowing he was supposed to
touch. We have a womb, though. We give birth. We give birth to y'all seeds. You don't think we deserve something?
No, fuck no. You want to know why? Because y'all don't have life. Right? It ain't no
life. You know what?
Your body is, every month your body dies.
You have to give,
which makes it better. Which makes it better when you get it. And a woman give it to you. Why wouldn't you want, well, I'm not going to say why people don't get married. But what I'm saying is, why wouldn't you want that to be your business partner?
Listen,
that,
I'm
that's the person
listen,
that, you know, women are loyal as fuck. Women are loyal as fuck. Well, yeah. A woman can determine your downfall or your upgrade in life, depending
listen,
on the woman that you choose.
Not every woman has wet ass box. We gonna start there.
Oh, they ain't got that WAP.
Not every woman has WAP. So the thing is, she's, you know, like she said, you know, this, the narrative is saying, entertainment purposes, I'm at the top of the food chain. I got married because I got some wet ass box. Not every woman has that. This is the narrative that these a lot of women live in, this false reality, like they the baddest bitches out there. I get confidence. But the thing with men is that we grow up having to size each other up as soon as we walk into a room. As soon as men walk into a room, we're automatically sizing each other up. And regardless of the man says it verbally, we know who the alphas are and the red pill men are from the betas and the blue pill men. From the get-go, as soon as we get into a room and we see how a man move. Women move around and every woman is the same. Every woman is saying they got the same shit. And it's not true. Not every man has the same shit. We know that as men. Women seem to not understand that not every woman is built the same. You know? And that's...
We know that. But I think that that comes from... I cut you off. I ain't going to apologize because I meant to. But what I'm going to say... Well, look, I'm gonna say real quick, is that women know that we ain't got the same, but men will be like, oh, well, all y'all got a, you know, y'all got a sweet box. So y'all got the same thing.
Nah, who say that? Call up, you gotta call somebody up.
I've heard men say it, so it's like, well, what's really distinguishing it?
That's but anyway, I will say, in terms of going back to what El Miguel say, I will say, I think you kind of put the outlier as the mainstream narrative, bro. For everyone that came, every woman that came up off the box selling, or off sexual nature or whatever, it's like a mean in a hole in the wall strip club dancing for 45 minutes for a dude to throw $2 at them. You know what I'm saying? So it's not all, you know what I mean, successful in terms of that. You know what I'm saying? But the competition is fierce among women. Like I said, I threw the numbers out there, 3 million more black women than black men. So the competition is way more fiercer than for them. You know what I'm saying? That's why a lot of women don't really get along, I would think. You know what I'm saying? You got to compete with it. Compete for limited resources.
Yeah. But let me ask you on the supply, strictly supply and demand question, right? you got a woman and a man, equal economic value, right? Equal physical value, equal everything. On the, today's market, who's more valuable on the market, on the dating market? The black man or the black woman?
I think we know the answer there. Let's Reese, what you think?
Black men. Black men, because I feel like more people, I feel like people look at black women. Okay, hold on. Let me start over. Black women want black men, right? But I feel like more black men date completely outside of their race than black women. So I do agree with you all when you say that the bickering and the fighting is real amongst women. As far as the men, that's true. It's a harsh reality, but it is the truth.
Shameless.
And it's sad, but you know, I mean, I don't think a lot of black women really want to date outside of their race because we feel a certain loyalty to the black man. But I don't think that we feel that same loyalty, to be honest with you, because I think that black women feel like they can be so
easily
discarded. I'm telling you our thought. I'm telling you the thought, though. I'm telling you what I've seen. You know, just different situations. You know, that's just what it seems like.
But hold on. So historically, right, the woman, the black woman's economic freedom, and not, they're not going to say freedom, liberation, to not have to be dependent on a black man has only really came in the last 40 years, right? So we're talking about black men carrying the household, the kid, the woman and kids. For at least two centuries, you know what I'm saying. And so prior when we say what? So, as far as survival, who was bringing food home? Who was protecting the black woman? And it was the black man.
I'm gonna say this though. A lot of I'm gonna say back when my grandparents were, and I know we probably stayed on this subject for a long time, so I don't want to keep drawing it out. But I'm gonna say this back like my grandparents' time, great grandparents' time, it was beat on a women. Because women didn't have no rights. Women didn't have no say so. But let me finish. Women didn't have no, they couldn't go out and get a job. They were discriminated against. So there was no real way a woman could go out and do anything. So if a man came home, it was because he could do whatever he wanted to a woman. It wasn't like it is nowadays where a black man is choosing to be with a black woman, no matter the percentage of black she is. There was no choosing to be with a black woman because she was there because she had to be. So when a woman could go out, when a black woman could go out, or any race of woman could go out and get her own money and fend for herself, you know, she had to because she had to, you know, she wanted to escape being beat on. And I'm speaking, maybe I'm being a little transparent, but I don't really mind that. I'm okay with being vulnerable and speaking on things I've seen in my own experiences. But grandparents that I've seen, great grandparents that I saw, that's what happened in those households. And I'm sure there's statistics that support that. You know, so it seemed like the men were there because they had to be. But at a point when they didn't have to be in the household, they left.
But is that the case in society right now?
Well, that's what I was going to say. So you have black men that leave the homes. They may still take care of their children, but it seems as though the black woman has turned them off so much that they would much rather be with someone outside of their race to experience something different. So where does that leave the black community as a whole? Well, and that's not to say you have to be with anyone, but you don't see anyone in different cultures. You see Asian people with Asian people. You see, you know, and like I said, you don't have to be with anyone. You can be with whoever you want of any race, but you see different people like in their cultures, they procreate within their culture. But in the black community, it seems as though there's such a disconnect and disgust for each other, and I just want to know why that is.
I personally don't think that. We just had a video floating around of a lady saying that I can't date a broke man. The person interviewing her asked, what is a broke man? She said, if a man don't make double what I make, he's broke. right? If we're looking at, you know, we're looking at the financial liberation of a black woman because of their hard work that they put in, right? The generations of the black woman raising the single kid has now, they've adapted to society where they don't need the black man economically.
We don't want to adapt. We don't want to adapt. We don't want to adapt.
But
we don't want to adapt to that.
Right? When we had Bougie Lee on, she broke down the historical references of how that was by design. But what I'm saying is if you look at that, if the black woman has so much more value, right, and there's a scarcity of black men, why aren't they being courted outside of their race more?
To be honest with you, hold on. This gonna tie into actually what I want to do is the last topic. I'm gonna save the Sela Mala thing for later, but the Vado and Tahiri situation and the media trying to capitalize on domestic violence and has the media gone too far in this regard? But also the last part I added is social media perpetuating a gender war between the black men and the black women. Now, what I've seen lately is a lot of dudes, well, I've seen a lot of posts, both black men and black women, speaking in regards of protecting the black woman, right? And then I even had a dude was adamant that he'd never seen any examples. He's seen way more examples of, you know, black men beating or abusing black women than protecting the black woman. And I'm like, and I'm sitting here like the crazy part is the most highlighted case right now that's all across mainstream media, and they even commercializing the fuck out of it, which kind of make disgust me in a certain way, but it's Breonna Taylor's situation, right? And Breonna Taylor's whole situation is the police with a no-knock warrant kicked in the door at the wrong house to get the wrong dude, you know, to arrest the dude that was already in jail. And the when the dude heard the door being bust down, he started busting at the police, and the police bust back and end up hitting her. Ain't that a black man protecting a black? That's the most high profile case. Now, he didn't succeed in protecting this woman because she ended up dying. But that's what he was doing. He protected the house and home, shooting at somebody who kicked in his door. But you don't see any examples of the black man protecting the black woman. And my last thing on that is you also have to be careful what you're saying. I was having this conversation earlier with the old lady, and we was talking about, you know, in terms of how they talking about the black man not protecting the black woman. But if certain situations go down, let's say I'm on the parking lot, you know, and I see a black woman and a black man getting into it, you know, physically or whatever, right? And I don't know what happened in between that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if she beat the shit out of his mama, you know, sexually abuse his kids. I don't know none of that. Now, my natural instinct, I'm going to try to break it up. You know what I'm saying? But in certain situations, that might end up being a life or death situation between me and his other brother. I might have to take him out, or he might take me out. Now, who going to raise my kids, right? So I'm saying, where are your brothers? Where are your uncles? Where are your, you know what I mean, your man or whatever to intervene in this situation if need be? Or are we all subject to, you know what I mean, have to intervene? What does protecting the black woman entail on all situations? Are we to jump in at every situation and just get at it no matter what, even if we don't know the ins and outs and ins or not? So what do people mean by this whole protect the woman?
That's a good question, because when I ask that question, I don't get answers back. Straight up, like
there ain't no answer to give you. There's no answer to give you. I'll answer after you done, but there's no answer to give you. You're right.
We done. We want to hear you because
I'm done.
No, I think I want to say, just like Black Lives Matter, protect the black woman is just something people say with no action, because there are black men, just like the two of you that sit right here. You two are in households with your black women. Take care of your black children.
So Say that.
You two are on this podcast as black men in your black household, taking care of all of your black children.
We appreciate that, Queen. We appreciate that.
Most definitely. But I think people use that as just like they use the Black Lives Matter movement as a way to just say shit. Because when you say protect the black woman, I think it's being divisive, because we have to protect the black man. And I made a video about this shit earlier, because I'm tired of the divisiveness, the things that are dividing the black community. And to me, that divides the black community. to make it seem as if there aren't black men out here that provide, take care, and protect their families. I heard that 911 call from Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, and it brought me to tears because I'm emotional. It makes me emotional even talking about it right now, because the way he sounded, he was weeping. He was, his spirit was broken because his woman died in his arms. She didn't have to be his wife. She didn't have to be his wife. That was his woman. He loved her. And he did everything he could to protect her. And yeah. After the interviews I heard, they won't even let him talk to anyone in the media. They won't let him speak to anybody. And they hid her body in that apartment for 12 hours. Wouldn't even let her mother see the body. Lied to her and told her that Breonna Taylor was at the hospital and she was not there. So when people, it does something to me when people use these hashtags and they say different shit and they don't mean it. They're just using it for clout. And exactly. As black people, we have to do better. We have to fucking do better. Because nobody's coming to save us. Nobody's coming to do any of that. We have to do it for ourselves. And when we have black men that are in the house and that are protecting their families, we have to commend that. Because there's so many men who walk away from their children. And we complain about that as black women. We complain about the man not being there. So when we have men that are there taking care of their families and their kids, we gotta respect that. Because we're moving forward. We're not doing what our parents did to us and what our grandparents did to us. We're doing something different.
So to go back to, you know, to piggyback off what you're saying, right? I'm a married man, you know. I'm married to a black woman, have black kids. I try to do my best. You know, it's not always perfect, but I do my best. But if I was single, I would be very selective, right? You would, if you a high value man, right? You can be selective of who you give what to. And that's kind of all I was saying, right? Like if I don't have to. With the laws of supply and demand, I have a greater pool of pickings from the black woman. And on top of that, what we see now is that it's cool to date black men. It's cool for white women to date black men. They're not going to have local police showing up at their door, burning their house down because they're dating black men now. And now that the white woman and the Spanish woman and the Asian women now are economically more viable to stand on their own, what do you see? More interracial, more black men being courted outside of the black woman. But you see a lot of black women, and I get this from a lot of black women. I have black female friends that it give me a list of demands, and they single. How you going to say that you need a man with this, 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 and that, and you don't have nothing to offer a black man? It's very disparaging to hear that, because I look at life. I have two kids and a wife, and I think survival. I'm not thinking quality of life. I'm thinking, how can I give my family the best opportunity to survive, even if I'm not here? But a lot of black women are, to me, from what I hear, you know, and a lot of these women are single, are looking for somebody to provide them a certain quality of life, not even survival. So, you know, when we look at it's a telltale sign of how black women value black men. The narrative has been that black men ain't been shit for so long. When you have a black man that's average, has a job, has his own place, has a car, might have an associate's degree, that's average. Might have a bachelor's degree, that's average. But because that's, you know, that's outside of the narrative, right? It becomes now you bolstering that man up. And that's some average shit. Everybody I know personally has all of those things. You know, that's nothing. You know, every black man that I know, that I personally know, for the most part, it have more people that I know in the black man have those things that don't have those things.
Well, that speaks back to the subject, right? The subject I was throwing out there is the media making the outlier the normal, right? Is it making these gender war, these gender discussions, this back and forth? And now the vast majority of black women and black men I know are either in relationships, or they're very understanding of the situation. They're not making super list of demands and shit. Now, I do know that small percentage that's out here believe in the WAP narrative. I don't cook, I don't clean, but I can get the ring type of deal. The man got to pay all the bills. But I think that's the outlier, bro. I don't think that's really the main majority. I think the main majority of people just want to be in a functional relationship, right? They just want somebody who compliments them at the end of the day. I don't think that this narrative they're painting of, you know, the demanding black woman or the black man ain't shit narrative that they playing, or even the, like I was saying earlier, the we don't protect the black woman. That's some bullshit. You can go to War Star right now and find 10 videos of a nigga beating up his stepdaddy because he put his hands on his mama or some
and
shit.
What man do you know would allow someone, another man, to disrespect his woman, period? Just based off of ego.
I'm completely honest with you. I know a lot of men that would do it. And that's a whole different topic. But the when we talk about men, let's not categorize, let's not throw that term out there loosely. You know, like, you know, to say somebody's a man can't just be how old they are. It gotta be
that's deep. Exactly.
I don't call everybody
that is true. I agree.
Everybody a man. You know, when I shake a person's hand, and I get to know a person, I don't consider everybody a man. If I consider myself a man, I'm not going to let somebody that ain't rocking how I'm rocking or don't have the ideals that I have as far as being a man and carrying yourself as a man to be a man. You got to carry yourself as a man to be a man. I think that's where where women kind of get bamboozled is when these dudes front like they men, but they don't look at the resume. It's like if you are a business owner, you know what I mean, Sharice, and you put out an ad out there, you trying to solicit somebody with a certain set of skills, and this dude just look at the thing and literally say, I can do all of those things, right? 3 months down the line, you realize this motherfucker can't do shit. You know what I'm saying? He can't do shit, but
well,
you
I'm
stick.
I'm going to say this real quick. I don't see, okay, so when you look at TV, you see black men with money, you see black men with big gold chains and iced out like the baby and NBA young boy, whatever, whatever. When you see a black woman on TV, she's shaking her ass and she's degraded. Well, no. When I'm talking, okay, well, let me be more specific. When I'm talking about that, I'm saying, okay, when you're looking at music videos, when you're looking at TV, period. Like I don't really see women, black women that's on there that are showing the everyday black women that are out here working, making their own money, that may want a man like DA was referring to just procreate and have a healthy relationship with, that isn't gold digging, that isn't looking for someone to take care of them, to buy them a Birkin bag, someone that wants to have a healthy relationship with. So I feel like personally that there aren't, you have black men, to me, I think black men have the choice of all races. Ain't nobody coming checking for a damn black woman.
That's a lie. That's definitely a lie.
Who wants black women? No.
White dudes. Look at Kamala Harris. She's
no black. What? Ain't no white dudes checking for. They just want to. When I think of a white I think it's just because of slavery times and because that's what their ancestor did. It disgusts me. I just want to fucking throw up, to be honest with you, because
Go ahead. So my wife watched a lot of like TV, right? She watches Grey's Anatomy. Every black woman on that show has dated a white man, except for one, and then they got her off the show. Because he left the black girl to go date the white woman, but then they had the super bad black girl getting ran through by all the white men. But all the white men, you know what I mean? Every time I see TV, when you got a successful black woman, and I can name a few other shows, she's usually with a white man. And really what I've been seeing on TV is that a lot of what we would consider the physical alpha males and the black men are gay. Or that's what personally I see on TV. Every black male, I'd be like, yo, that dude probably getting all the chicks. And he gay, super gay. Like, you know what I mean? So it ain't nothing wrong with being, you know, the what they do. But I feel like, going back to the topic, I see a lot of black women in the media with white men. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it go both ways these days. It used to be more so just the black man and, right, and the white one. But I say these days, man, I see a lot of the opposite, at least in terms of the media. Not so much real life outside of, you know.
Real life, exactly.
But on the media, it's very much pushed. You know, I will say a lot of the women I've seen that's the black women that term that they outside their race seem to harbor a lot of self-hate, man. It seems to be like more so the dark skin. Women,
yeah,
and I've seen that a lot. Oh. Yes, shit, even in the military.
I ain't gonna say all of that.
No, I ain't gonna say just only. You know what I'm saying? But I've seen a lot. Just my personal experience, I've seen a lot of that, and it always hits me with like maybe it's a little bit self-hating there, cause we all been in elementary school and we seen like if you a darker sister, the kids fucking. You African booty scratching, and I got all these jokes. Even, you know what I mean? Like,
kids are mean as shit, man.
Kids mean as shit. Hell, and if you got something about yourself, if you dark skinned, if you was dark skinned in the fucking early 90s when it was a light skinned paradise, not to go on the colorism thing, but it's the truth, man. I seen a lot of dark skinned women get it bad in school when we was growing up, and that has effects.
I heard some crazy shit. You look like a turned off TV. Like, I said, damn, that would hurt.
Yeah, that shit rough, but dude.
That's fucked up, man. And people think about that shit for years.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, for me personally, being a light-skinned black male, I personally never liked light-skinned women because all light-skinned people look alike after they start dating after, like, 6 months. Like, I don't think nobody tell me. Like, you got two light-skinned people that's dating for, like, a year or two. Them motherfuckers start looking related. So I personally always like the brown skin and dark skin women. So I never really understood. And I've always been one of the people at the top of the dating pool, right? So I've never looked at dark skin women like it was something wrong with them. I always looked at them like, God damn, she bad. You know what I mean? That was just me. Brown skin, dark skin women did it for me. So I never understood that colorism pool. And then men and women are different, right? Because how I grew up, I was getting hit on, like, ragged on for being light-skinned. But I guess in a woman culture, they get ragged on for being dark-skinned, right? Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's a flip-flop, you know what I'm saying? Like, if, you know, in male culture, being light-skinned was soft. And women, it didn't have any advantages of being light-skinned. And in women culture, I guess we dating back to the slavery times of, you know, being a house slave or a field slave, you know, I guess, you know, there's more, I wouldn't say a pill. I don't say a pill, but, you know, maybe dark-skinned women just, I mean, I can't say just that's in their head because, you know, we all know that there are societal advantages to being light, you know, so.
That's where knowledge of self come in at, not to cut you off, but that's what knowledge of self, that's why we every episode, you know what I mean, I talk about MCS and what they doing and all that other stuff. Because I will say, man, if you don't, we need to start teaching early at age. Like I said, kids is cruel, man. So we need to start teaching. If you catch them at an early age, hey, we come in all shades. We all beautiful in our own way.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's the beautiful thing about being black. You can be any damn color of the rainbow. You know what I'm saying? Like, that black just don't mean you look like the color of them. So we need to go ahead and catch them early and stop all that. Because like you said, man, that self-hate at a young age and you grow up, it has consequences. You know what I'm saying? And that's also why I'm like trying to kill this gender war bullshit they trying to push out here on this. And I think people personally make fake accounts and shit. I think some of these people like on these social media ain't even black people. I think they fucking... agents of chaos, man, making pages with a black picture on there talking shit about the black man and black woman, you know what I mean, and pushing that narrative because that's some bullshit.
A lot of them are international play, like, you know, I'm in cybersecurity, you know what I mean, and one of the stats that I learned was that 60% of all profiles on Facebook are fake. 60%, you know what I'm saying? So you know, granted, that might be in our own local network, but a lot of these things that are shared and, you know, all it takes is one person to share something for somebody to get it and start crossing networks of people. But a lot of this stuff comes from, you know, China and I'm not going to say Russia, but a lot of this stuff comes from international waters. You know, people be really, you know, because you share stuff and the next thing you know, you get a hold of somebody's account and you can send something similar for them to click on a video and then you get in their account and get all their personal information because a lot of people use the same passwords across.
And that's why I tell older relatives too, don't click them damn videos in your inbox. Like, If somebody send you a video in your inbox, do not, unless they tell you they sending it, stop it. Because I done had, especially as older people get onto social media and stuff, and I'm seeing all these cloned accounts because you want to decide to watch this video in your inbox. You know what I mean? So,
sexy girl 9187724. Please, bro.
Yeah,
you know, all these old ass people be clicking on these nudie Russian girls Skype me now and talking about why my bank account says zero.
So I think that's a good note. I think that's a good note to wrap it up, man. I would say, you know what I mean? We need to stop perpetuating any kind of gender war. I think I say the black man loves the black woman. At 80-some percent of black men marry black women, and like 90-some percent of black women marry black men. So I don't really see the gender war they're talking about. And
I see the fake war, bro.
Yeah, it's a fake war. Exactly. So on wrapping up, if y'all got anything y'all want to plug, any socials, any movements, any business, I'm gonna throw it out to L. Miguel first, man. What you got, bro?
No, I've been busy. You know, I mean, I just moved and landed a new job. I really haven't been in touch with the people. I've been kind of refocusing on my time and energy towards my family and my personal development. So I haven't really been in touch with the people or anything going on. And it'll probably stay like that for some time until I, develop a foundation on a path I'm going on now. But a big shout out to just everybody in the whole. I'm seeing a lot of black people, when men and women get married in these times. I'm seeing a lot of unity. I'm seeing a lot of self-businesses. I know I got a few friends that are doing fitness businesses, and they're getting people right. You know, I'm seeing people change. And I think health
no.
is...
No, lay down. So,
that's
down.
The thing for me.
Yeah, you out there fighting with the dog. Go ahead, plug the dog,
Charisse. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I thought I was on mute. I'm so sorry. I thought I was mute.
It's all good. Y'all take care of them fur babies. What you got in closing? Go ahead.
So, I want to plug my podcast, the Queen's Council podcast. I'm actually about to upload a new episode, and it's going to be more consistent. I have my lovely co-host on there, and we're talking about some great topics. So hopefully everybody tunes in. It's called the Queen's Council Podcast, and I make gift baskets, and you can follow me on all forms of social media. It's called Tied with a Bow. I deliver locally for free in the Atlanta metro area. So if you're looking for something unique for anybody, you loved ones, family, friends, coworkers, that kind of thing, I make gift baskets. So check me out.
When we go and do a joint, bring the podcast together, maybe do like a do something dope. You know, we get something together. You say you got a co-host now? I ain't listened to the last
one. Yeah, I got Bougie Lee.
Bougie Lee?
Yeah, a couple of podcasts ago. She's on there. We're talking about a lot of good topics. You know, it's two black women on there, so we're talking about a lot of things that affect the black community. You gotta excuse my dog. She's like a big baby. She's whining if y'all hear her. We're talking about a lot of things that affect the black community as two black women from two different spectrums, two different experience, you know, levels and that kind of thing. So it's wonderful. Y'all gotta check it out. Like I said, I'm finna upload it in the next 2 days or so, 2-3 days.
Can we get some kudos for that? Can we get some a little bit of kudos?
You already know how I got Bougie Lee. I got her from y'all, so I appreciate that. So, you know, it's gonna be a good listen, and you know, y'all tune in, and you know, I want to eventually bring y'all on, maybe not at the same time, one or two, depending on what we're talking about, so we can keep it going and talk about these kind of things so we can keep progressing the black community. I love these kinds of conversations we have.
I love it. We love it. We love it. Check that out. The Queen's Council.
We got to do an in-studio thing when this COVID ends or something. Vegas tickets are pretty cheap. We got to do an in-studio. We could bring the audio equipment somewhere and do a maybe do. I think you know the listeners probably want to see what we look like too. We in that kind of community.
Yeah. You know.
So we maybe do an interview.
Speaking of which, you hit something on the head. And before I forget, we're gonna be uploading to YouTube. Initially, it's not gonna be any video of us. Initially, I'm just gonna put up a backdrop. But I am gonna add. We are eventually hoping to add video also to these podcasts. So I'm probably gonna have to clean up this garage that I record in because I don't wanna be looking like a bum right here. Got to put up some backdrop. So be looking for that. It's the first episode I plan on adding to YouTube, so we're gonna try to up the listenership at going on YouTube. Hopefully, we don't get banned within the first week because I heard they canceling motherfuckers out there.
Everybody. So it's time to get real light skin. I'm about to go set up the rates in the gym, meaning my garage. I'm about to just track. You know what I mean? It's time to get in shape because. Yeah, I'm a sexy beast. I'm gonna just say what it is.
Anyway, I would like to tell people. Hey, I would like to plug Hip Hop High Society. I'm currently in the process of changing up the website. It should be up within the next week. I had to pay some Indian people to switch up the website. I was hoping to find some black owned businesses to do it, but the price was a little bit better with it. I ain't gonna lie. So be on the lookout for Hip Hop Outside coming back. Also, man, go on Patreon. Like I said, man, if you find any kind of benefit from these episodes or whatever, go on to Patreon. We're gonna try to up that up and monetize this thing. I wanna try to bring on some high level guests. And those people who like want money and shits and upgrade the recording equipment and all that other type stuff. So if you find you get any kind of information or even just entertainment from these podcasts, man, be sure to check out the Patreon, man. $5 or whatever a month. Also, I plan on adding the gift tier. I'm currently talking to actually the distributor, the person I plugged in the black owned business spotlight. Talk about getting some hats and mugs or whatever for people who give a certain amount. So be on the lookout for that. So go on Patreon, the Harsh Reality Podcast, and also be checking for Hip Hop High Society coming back soon, trying to promote positivity and hip hop. And that's all I got. And I guess that about does it, man. So on behalf
My fault to cut you off. I do got black business owner. My homie Joey, he got a business. We all know how the black community love our Jordans and sneakers, and he's the plug. So if you missed out on the newest release, is that joey.com has all, like, he literally is the plug, you know, on all the rares. He got the Tokyos, he got the Biohack pre-orders. You know, we just calling it what it is, you know, that's not gonna stop. And yeah, so is that joey.com for the newest apparel and hype beast apparel as well. So same as plug, that's my homie, that's my guy.
And with that, we out. Peace.
Peace out.